Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, this morning we're going to start a new series called Royalty. If you're taking notes, Royalty. We just finished up Faith. Let's see if I can get my password to work. Is everybody feeling a little bit warmer? Good. It's running. I know that. I can hear it. So we're going to start a new series called Royalty. And if you wanted a subtitle, I love subtitles. Born of Immortal Seed. Okay, we're going to talk about that. And I'm going to read Ephesians 6, verse 19. And then we're going to pray. Because I'm going to pray this morning so that you get something out of this service. How many know that I am not the Holy Ghost? He would say, yeah, I'd imagine him. He looked different. I am not him, but he is our teacher, according to the Bible. And so I want to yield to him. I've been gifted to teach and minister. And so I want to, just the Lord's choice. I wouldn't have picked me, but it's not my job. So I'm just supposed to obey. So we're going to pray and believe God. And you believe God. Extend faith to the Lord yourself, that you'll hear from him and learn something that will apply to your life, that you can take and apply to your life and experience the goodness of God in your life. Ephesians 6:19 in the Amplified says, "And pray also for me," this was Paul saying this, the Apostle Paul, "that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news, for which I am an ambassador in a coupling chain in prison. Pray that I may declare boldly and courageously as I ought to. So, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we join together our hearts and faith towards you. Lord, you are our God. You're our Father. We have relationship and access to you through the blood and body of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for the cross of Christ and what he accomplished when he came to the earth and went to the cross and went to hell and rose from the dead by your great power. Father, we desire to hear from you today by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. I ask you for words to speak, utterance, and boldness to proclaim your word. Father, words that will be heard gladly and in simplicity so that we can take and apply easily what we hear and what we've learned. So that as your word says, that your word is a light and a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, you said that the path of the just is like the rising of the sun. It shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Lord, we know that the perfect day is when we're with you. But Lord, our path is to be brighter and brighter. And the only way we can do that is if we have understanding from the Holy Spirit. So we ask it, we ask for the wisdom, and we believe we receive it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, or so be it. Okay. This morning, I want to begin a new series that will overlap with different parts of the previous series that we have done. I often have said and believe personally that the Bible flows together like a coat of many colors. Just like you can look at a mountain from many different viewpoints, and depending where you are standing, different parts of the mountain are going to be emphasized to you. In the end, all the parts you see make up the whole mountain. The same can be said about the Bible. So this morning, I want to begin a series entitled Royalty, Born of Immortal Seed. Specifically, this comes from the scripture, if you want to write this down, 1 Peter 1:23. Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says this, "You have been regenerated, born again, not from mortal origin," and that word means seed or sperm, "but from immortal by the ever-living and lasting Word of God." So there you have that word, immortal. It seems like the goal of this message is for us to gain a greater understanding of what we really gained in being born again. Then to take this information and allow it to govern what we think, say, and do. God's primary purpose in sending Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for sin was not just to get us back, just to get us into heaven. Now listen closely to this statement, because I don't want you to miss it and misconstrue what I say. God's primary purpose in sending Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for sin was not just to get us into heaven when we die, but rather to get his nature back into his creation. As a result of this, we get to be in heaven when we leave our bodies. So let's go ahead to our first point, and let's talk about the separation of spirit and body. If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And I'm going to give you a very simple illustration this morning that will help you understand the separation of spirit and body. While you're turning, I'm just going to read this a little bit more here. Well, our main tagline for the church is life in Christ. One of our four core values is to come and to discover, develop, and serve through life in Christ. Most Christians' lives do not change because they do not realize what they received when they were born again. Okay? Now, last week we talked about what this next year will hold, and I think maybe you shared the scripture this morning in James 4:4, or at least talked about it, drawing near to God, and He will draw near to you. During the worship time, I had this come up on my heart, and I want to share it with you. I just believe it was the Holy Spirit, and it's very simply this. Where you are today compared to where you are a year from now can look radically different depending on what you do. Okay? Now, let me just give you a natural example, okay? How many are aware that you have muscles on your body? You're like, I thought I did, but I wish I had more. Okay. If you decided starting tomorrow that you were going to change everything you ate, you were going to go health food, okay? I'm not recommending this. I'm just saying if. If you decided that you were going to do that and work out 5 days a week, and you consistently did that for 1 year, would your body change? I'm getting good response here. All right. Well, what a lot of Christians don't realize is, because they're not taught this principle that Jesus and the Bible teaches, is they think that the Bible is just a book of morals. Like, you know, you should do this. But Christianity is so much different than every other religion because simply this, Christianity declares and Christ declares that when you're born again, you don't just receive a guideline of good actions. You receive a new nature. And I'm going to prove it scripturally. This isn't just made up. You know, we teach our kids, do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Unless they're born again, you're teaching them guidelines, but you haven't had their nature changed. How many have sinned? I always get good response on that one. The scripture says, for all have sinned. Well, all? Yeah. See, Adam and Eve sinned, and it changed their nature. How many know we all come from Adam and Eve? I know, contrary to the monkey idea, we all come from Adam and Eve. Okay? And since that's the case, everything reproduces after its kind. So when they sinned, their nature changed. So Cain and Abel had sin in them. All the marriages and kids and everything that happened from then on, sin has been passed down and passed down and passed down and passed down. But from the foundation of the world, Christ was slain, right? So from before the world ever came into existence, Jesus already had a plan. There was a meeting at the conference table of heaven between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they sat around and they said, okay, we're going to create this world and this universe, and we're going to make a man, and they're going to rule over it. But this man is going to be unique because he's going to be able to fellowship with us unlike any other creature. And in the process of doing this, because God is so smart, and He knows the end from the beginning, He knows it all. He knew that in our independence, we would sin against Him. So a decision was made before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would step into the creation and show the love of God and redeem mankind back to God. Yeah, I like that idea. I wish I could have been in that meeting. I'd have been like, yes, let's do that. I'm thankful for that. Why? Because I got redeemed. I was born again. I was born and sold under sin, under no choice of my own. I was born into it. But out of my choice and God's decision to love me, I am now born again. And which actually means, yes, born from above. Born from above. What does that mean? That means I received God's nature into me. Where did it come? Into my head? Into my body? Nope, your body's dying, sorry. I'd get no amens on that, ever. But it's the truth. But this is temporal. We're going to get a new body, so don't worry about that. You receive the nature of God into your spirit. And the reality of the new birth is that we don't function out of law. We function out of relationship with God. We function out of a new nature on the inside of us. The scripture says that the law of God is written where? On your heart. It's not on a stone anymore. It's inside of you. So the moment you got born again, you got all the right decisions placed inside you. Now, if we can get this, which we can, if we choose to grab it and lock onto it, it will change your life 1 year from now. You'll be a different person. People, you won't be confused anymore about who you are in Christ or about how or where you're supposed to get your decisions from. You can follow your heart if you're saved. We just need to understand it. Amen? All right, so let's look at this. Luke chapter 23. I want you to see this. Jesus expressed these things. Now, this was where Jesus was crucified. And I want you to see a statement that Jesus makes. I'm going to separate body and spirit through these verses. If you don't want to look at them and you just want to listen, you can just write them down and look at them later if you'd like. Sometimes people try and write down everything but they can't keep up. So just write down the scripture and look at it later. It's Luke 23, verse 45 through 53. Says this, "Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" Did he say body? No, he said spirit. After Jesus gave up his spirit, is what the scripture says. After he gave up his spirit into the Father's hands, what happened to his body? It died, right? But where was it placed? Was it still there? The disciples went in to look for it. The guy that took Jesus and buried him, what was his name? Was it? I don't remember. Joseph? Is that what it was? Okay. He took the body of Jesus. Was Jesus' spirit in his body? No. He committed his spirit to the Father and his body laid limp. All right, we're going to look at it again. Some of you are like, are you sure? Okay. Yeah. Verse 52 says this. Oh, I guess I could have just read down further. "This man went to Pilate," Joseph, "and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of a rock where no one had ever lain before." Now, so he took his body. He didn't take Jesus' spirit. He took his body. Okay? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12, says this. Now, we're talking about the separation of body and spirit. Okay? Says this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent." What is Peter talking about? Listen now. "To stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me." Is Peter walking around town with a big tent over the top of him? I got to put this tent off pretty soon. Just write this letter down. I got to get rid of this tent. Is that what he's saying? He's talking about dying, right? What is Peter calling a tent? His body. Okay, now it's time for the illustration. Careful. This is the illustration. Okay? Peter is talking about putting off what? His body, which he called his tent, right? Now, if you look up some of these verses and you look at some of the definitions of some of these words and stuff, the idea is a sword in a sheath. You put a sword inside of a sheath. You know what a sheath is, right? It goes over the top. So I'm going to explain to you with this glove, spirit and body, okay? Can this glove by itself do anything? Why not? It's empty. What gives this glove animation? Oh, yeah, that's right. How is the glove alive? Through me. How are you alive? Through your spirit in you. Death to the body is nothing more than the separation of the spirit from the body. Death is not the cessation of life. All it is a comma. It's not a period. It's not the end. See, this is why salvation for you and your whole family and your friends is so important. Because you will never be separated for eternity if you're in Christ. God's taken us all with Him. So if you're saved, and even the people that you think you don't like that are saved, they're going to be there. They're going to be there. And you know what? Let me say this. You're going to like them. The parts that we don't like about each other will be dead. Yeah. They get left in the tent or in the glove. You're a spirit. You live in a body. Think of it like this. Is your house you? But you live in it. What are the eyes? Like windows. You know, I've talked about this before. But how is it that the light from the lights can go inside my eyeballs, into my skull, and I see light out here? No, I'm not a doctor, so don't, you know. Okay, I'm not going to break this down for you. But it's amazing because everything inside your skull is pretty dark. Pretty sure. There's no light in there, right? There's no, like, okay, turn the lights on. You know, we have little phrases, but how is that possible? Because you're spirit. And what causes you to function in your body is the life of God, or what Adam and Eve was recorded in Genesis, what? The breath. God breathed into them. So what happens when someone dies? The breath goes out. Have you ever been present when someone dies? I have. I've watched it a couple of times. It's like the person deflates. People are like, I don't want to think about it. You better think about it. Everybody's coming to it. Not tomorrow. Psalms 91 says what? He'll satisfy you with long life. Okay? Not tomorrow, but you need to think about it and not be afraid of it. Why? You're going to live forever. You're born again. You've got Christ in you. You've got a seed in you, according to 1 Peter 1:23, that is immortal. It cannot die. Now that's a thought, isn't it? It cannot die. That trips your natural mind up because your mind goes, no, I watch things die all the time. Yeah, on this earth, but it's physical. The spiritual is the real you, and that's what lives forever. Let's look at a couple more scriptures so I can prove it to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. And it seems right to me, as long as I am in this tent of flesh, to keep your minds awake by working on your memory. That's a good idea. This is a different translation of that same verse. It says, for I am conscious that in a short time I will have to put off this tent of flesh. I like that. This tent of flesh, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says this, for we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed. What is the tent? It's your earthly home. It's your body. That's the tent you're in. That's the tent. That's the home that God has given you to use. How many are thankful for the tent? I am. I'm thankful for it. I get to do lots of cool stuff on earth because I have a tent. All right, I don't want you to forget this. 2 Corinthians 5:6. So then we are always full of good and hopeful, confident courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are abroad from the home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says this, yes, we have confident and hopeful courage and are pleased rather to be away from the home, from home out of the body, and be at home with the Lord. He's talking about when you go to heaven. James 2:26, the very moment you separate body and spirit, you end up with a corpse. That's the message. I like the message sometimes. It just says it plain, you know. The very moment you separate what? Body and spirit, you end up with what? A corpse. You end up with something dead. You say, what is the point of all this? You'll see. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says this, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Is death loss? Oh, man. Somebody get something there? That dawn on you? What is death? Once you die, where do you go? Heaven. Is that gain or loss? That's gain. So your family members that have gone on to, before you to the Lord, what are they doing right now? Gaining. They're gaining. They're in a good place. People go, I just miss them so much. They ain't crying over you. You're crying for you. They're not crying over missing you. They're there in the presence of the Lord where it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's good news. It's gain. Verse 22, Paul says this, if I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Notice he separates him from his body. Isn't that interesting? He says, look, if I'm going to go on living in the body, he doesn't just say, if I'm going to go living on. He said, if I'm going to go on living in the body, and you'll see here he chooses it, then it's gain for you, okay? Verse number 20, moving on, same verse. Yet what I shall, what? Choose. I do not know. Is Paul deciding whether he's going to stay or go? Some people are like, I don't know if I can't get my head around. Well, go read the Bible. Okay, you don't have to argue with me about it. Just go to the Bible and see what it says. Verse number 23 says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ. Amen. Which is better by far. Amen. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. What is Paul saying? He's separating body and spirit, and he's telling them inside of himself, in the will of who he is, his will, he's trying to decide, do I want to leave or do I want to go? I really want to go. And the Lord's saying, but they really need you there. He said, but Lord, I really want to come see you and put off this body. Yeah, but, and the Lord's saying to Paul, yeah, but look at those people down there. And I've given you all this revelation, you need to stay. And what is the decision that he makes? You know he was functioning in the love of God. I mean, you're talking about the Apostle Paul. You realize he was beat up 3 times with rods, at least, shipwrecked more than once, had 39 stripes put on his back more than once. I mean, the guy's been whooped. He's probably got scars. You know, Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of Christ. People think, you know, I'm going to be late for work and I hit all four red lights. I'm suffering for Jesus. You have not suffered for Jesus yet until you've been experienced 39 stripes, right? I mean, Paul went into a city, preached, and they stoned him to death. They drug him out of the city. He was raised from the dead, and he went back in. You know, if I came here and preached once and y'all stoned me, I don't know if I'd come back. I might just say, I don't think they want the message. I might move on. But part of Paul's understanding about who he was is that he was a spirit and he had a body. Now, don't let this be too simple for you, okay? There's a reason why I've read like 6 or 7 scriptures to you out of the Bible about this. The Holy Spirit wants you to know it. It must be a big deal to him. Why even put it in there if it's not? What we're going to discover as we move on with this, that the power that you have in you is a whole lot more than what you realize. You know, let's go back to 1 Peter 1:23 and we'll end there. Now, these messages build on each other, okay? So you got to keep that in mind. We'll end with this one, 1 Peter 1:23. He says this. This is the Amplified again. You have been regenerated, born again. How many know they're born again? I know I'm born again. Not from what? Mortal origin. We understand these terms because it's the definition of it, but it talks about seed or sperm. How did you, and we've talked about this before, why do you look the way you do? Because you had a mom and a dad that came together and produced a child, right? You have their what? DNA. What is Peter saying right here? Now, if you saw my kids, you'd go, yep, those are your and Heidi's kids. It's obvious. They look like us. Do you realize that in all of creation, God is preaching constantly? It's me. It's me. I'm here. It's me. I'm here. It's me. I'm still here. It's me. It doesn't matter how many crazies get into power in the earth. God will still be God. You can rest. But what if nuclear war happens? Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced nuclear war. So what do you mean? Well, it was so hot, the guards died before they even pushed them in. And yet they were dancing in the fire. You're safe in the Lord. We were born of what? Immortal seed. God's DNA in your heart. Listen to me. I need you to understand this. I need you to hear this. Kind of remove the religiosity that we've put into Christianity. Your Christianity is not just a set of good morals. It's a change of your nature. Jesus did not experience what he experienced on the cross and going to hell and being raised from the dead so that you could know that you're not supposed to lie. That's a lot of suffering. I mean, if it was just a set of regulations, why not just leave it with the Ten Commandments? It's more than that. It's about his nature being in you and you being his child. It's about possession of you back from what was stolen from him. Now, if my kids look like me, because they came from me, and God's kids look like him because they came from him, what is hidden in the seed that is in you. Let's think about seed for a second. Can you tell what's in a seed when you hold it? Let's say you're walking down the street and you just find a random seed. Do you know what's in that seed? Could you find out what's in that seed? How? Plant it, water it, put it in the what? Right? In soil or environment. So that's what we're going to move into. The seed's in you. Oftentimes, now listen, it's immortal. It can't die. So it doesn't matter what you've done. If you've been born again for 20 years and never changed a bit, but you genuinely had an experience with the Lord, it could have not changed if it wasn't in the right environment. And so we'll look at that and then learn how to cooperate with who's in us so we can let him out. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? The reason why I say that, and this is something that came up on my heart during the worship time, so I'll just say it to you. I believe that there is going to be a genuine move of God, revival, whatever you want to call it, in the earth before the Lord returns and we're out of here, okay? Oh, that was funny. I believe that there will be a genuine move of God. But let me say this. I know that one of the desires of the Lord, because I've spent a lot of time praying about this, because when you love the Lord, you know, I'm beyond the point now where I just want to live my life and get through with it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's a whole lot more to life than going to work. I believe in going to work. I work, okay? I believe in it. I believe in working hard. I think it's a biblical principle. But I believe that the Lord has a greater purpose in all of this. You know, the end of this is not going to end up being that it's not going to be random. The Lord is going to return and rule everything. Religion and the idea of religion is not that so that it's not something that government came up with to try and control people. It's not something that is going to be, you know, we're going to all create world peace. You are dreaming. There is no way the humans on this earth are going to get together and have world peace. It's not going to happen. Somebody somewhere is going to disagree about something. There's only one way to have unity, and that's in Christ. And that's when He comes and rules and reigns. Okay? But before that takes place, and this is what I was referring to, the main thought behind Faith Family Church is life in Christ. I do not believe that the last sort of push before the Lord returns and His move is just going to be a bunch of famous preachers running around the planet. Now, we're still going to have preachers, so for the people that believe that we won't have preachers, which I don't think it's anybody here, but maybe somebody will listen on the tape. I can inform them. God is not going to get rid of His gifts, because there will always be people being born again, and there will always be the need to have development of those people and who they are in God. But what's going to happen is there's going to be a coming together of the body of Christ, because the body itself will actually be taught. If you read Ephesians 4 and you read through the gifts of the Spirit that are given there, they're for the maturing of the saints. And the Bible actually says, so the saints will do the work of the ministry. It doesn't say, so the pastor will do all the work of the ministry. It says the saints will do it. I believe that this final move of the Lord is not going to be, you know, a famous preacher. You say you're against famous preachers. No, I don't care. They can be as famous as they want. That doesn't matter to me. That's not the point. The point is, I sense the Lord's heart in the fact that He desires His people to grow and know Him personally and do more for Him personally. Does that make sense? And people say, well, how do we do that? That's what we're on. And it can be done. How many would want your desire to be God's desire in that area? I mean, do you want to do what God wants you to do? If you don't, then you don't. But I do. You know what I mean? And I don't believe that I'm looking at people that don't. So we need to take time, look, go over the scriptures, look again, learn, and then apply what we hear to our daily lives. Let it govern what we think, say, and do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for your people that are here. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just ask, and I know that you said you bring all things to our remembrance, that Jesus has spoken unto us. And your word, the word of God, is Jesus speaking to us. So bring to our remembrance what we've learned. What we've heard, we purpose not to let it go. We purpose to let it govern what we think, what we say, and what we do. I bless your people, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Keep them, watch over them, protect them as they go. And their kids, Lord, your angels encamping round about them and watching over them. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, God bless you guys. We'll be here next Sunday, but also Wednesday night. We have Bible study, and we have full ministry for the kids too. So if you got kids, bring them. Have a great week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.